Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. I'm Samantha Stone, in for Sam Shad. Today, my co-host is Paul Enos, and we'll be talking to University of Nevada students.
Sam, John Cassera and Casey Stiler have started a new legislative program on behalf of students.
And pundits today, Robert Eitoven, Joe Gild, and Greg Crawford. It's all coming up. Thanks for joining us. We'll be right back.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The resort at Red Hawk. The Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure. And the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Harry Reid knows Nevada needs jobs. He's powering a new clean energy industry. 300 jobs at a new solar field. 1,000 jobs building wind turbines. 25 new geothermal projects. But while Harry Reid is fighting for jobs, Sharon Angle supports tax breaks for companies that ship jobs overseas, outsourcing to China and India.
I'm not in the business of creating jobs.
At least not here in Nevada. Sharon Angle, a foreign worker's best friend.
I'm Harry Reid, and I approve this message.
It will be a short outing for this young right-hander as the manager heads to the mound. Uh-oh. I have never seen anything like this.
There's an easier way inside local sports. Las Vegas Review-Journal. Get inside.
Hello, I'm Lance Gilman. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevada. We are TRI.
Two championship courses and life's distractions fading away.
Join the area's best locals program, the Talon Club at Red Hawk.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. I'm Samantha Stone. Sam Shad is airborne this morning somewhere between Reno and Las Vegas, headed down south to do a series of shows from there. With me, co-pilot on the ground, Paul Enos from the Nevada Motor Transport Association. And our two guests this morning, Casey Stiler and John Cassera, both of them working at a new venture called the Legislative Affairs Department of the Associated Students of the University of Nevada. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
All right, so you have started this department, this Legislative Affairs Department at UNR. Tell us why.
The Department of Legislative Affairs was really something that, through a number of conversations with other students on campus last year, ASUN, the student government, a number of us got together and wrote legislation to create a department whose main goal is really to just kind of open up communication between legislators and students. We saw a need for it, so we're doing the best we can to meet that need.
Now, the university has a very able lobbyist. I've met him a few times. You have President Glick showing up when the need arises to address the legislative panels. Even Chancellor Klaich has been known to show up even before he was chancellor. Are the student interests that divergent from the university's interests?
What we're hoping to do, more so than just bring the president in, is to create a dialogue between the students and the legislature. And in that way, we've got to also gauge the opinion of students. We've sent out a survey and we've gathered a lot of information about what students want and what they feel is important. So our primary goal is to directly represent students, bring them to testify at the legislature to make sure their voices are heard in the upcoming session.
It's important to note, we're not necessarily created just because we feel that the student desires are divergent from the university. But this is really just something that we wanted to do that was by students for students. So it's just the putting a face to the, I guess, the direct student needs.
Is this something that's being supported by some of the other groups that Samantha mentioned, the Faculty Alliance, the Chancellor? Are they supporting this venture?
Yeah, this is something that in the planning stages, we made sure to try to contact as many different people on campus as we could to make sure that everybody was on the same page. And the University of Nevada administration is great because they understand that students really, given the opportunity, can really stand up for themselves and do something good. And now, I think they're willing to let us do that.
And you've actually circulated a pledge card that you've had some elected officials or some people who want to be elected officials sign that talks about not decreasing funding to limit student access, correct?
Exactly. And what we really tried to do with the Nevada Education Protection Pledge, which is backed by a number of different institutions throughout the state, almost every institution of higher education has actually backed the pledge. It's not just on behalf of the University of Nevada, Reno. But essentially, we're asking them just to make well-informed, responsible decisions. We as students understand cuts are going to have to be made, but we just want them to be responsible.
It's interesting that you have some of these groups, you know, that you are working together with. The Board of Regents, they came out with a plan that actually had a budget increase, you know, that showed a surplus. And it was interesting because the Faculty Alliance, which is kind of the union for the professors, they came out and they weren't talking about things to increase your access as students to the university. They were talking about getting rid of the furloughs and bringing back step increases for pay. Do you find those interests divergent from what you're trying to do?
Not necessarily. It's really a situation where whatever the Faculty Alliance needs to do to really represent its constituents as faculty members is something that they're going to have to do within the legislative session. And we're really, our focus is direct student needs such as access and ensuring the institutional integrity and the value.
Okay, what does that mean? What's institutional integrity mean?
I was going to ask the same thing, and if I could just read the language that's on the card. I will oppose and vote against any and all efforts to decrease funding to higher education that may damage the institutional integrity of the Nevada system of higher education or limit access to students. Now, limiting access to students, I think that's pretty straightforward. We understand that. Integrity of the Nevada higher education system, what does that mean?
As Casey said before, education makes up a huge part of the state budget. It's over half, so we're not naive enough to think cuts aren't going to happen to us at all. But what we do hope is that they don't cut our school in such a way to damage the integrity. Things like losing entire colleges, programs, or even going so far as to lose our accreditation would damage alumni, existing students, and current students
as well.
Well,
we've already seen some of that happen, yet you don't have the Faculty Alliance talking about bringing these programs back. You have them talking about bringing back step increases. I mean, that's got to be frustrating to you guys as students.
I wouldn't say that it's necessarily frustrating for students. Like I said, we're trying to represent as specific a group as possible, saying exactly what we need for the students. And I think the core mission of the Faculty Alliance, I can't really speak to
John,
their
are
needs,
you frustrated by some of the programs
to.
that they've gotten rid of and doesn't look like they're going to come back?
As a business major, the big one for me is they cut the supply chain management, so we'll still have a couple classes that are required. But as a whole, I don't think that was necessarily a good decision. I would, if it were up to me, of course, I wouldn't cut anything, and I believe that's sort of a notion of last resort. But we can't necessarily change what's happened, but we can try to prevent future cuts to programs, to school, and of course, try not to raise tuition too much to limit access to students.
All right. Business majors, both.
Political science with business minor,
both involved in the study of business. We're going to talk about the supply and demand of college programs when we come back. Let's take a little break. It's Nevada Newsmakers. I'm Samantha Stone with Paul Enos. Our guests from the Legislative Affairs Department, newly formed of UNR. Back in a moment.
I'm Sharon Angle, and I approve this message.
Want to know just how out of touch Harry Reid is? Spending $787 billion on a stimulus that failed is a start. Or Reid voting to give illegal aliens special tax breaks and Social Security benefits is another big clue. But here's the kicker. Reid actually voted to use taxpayer dollars to pay for Viagra, for convicted child molesters and sex offenders. What else could you ever need to know about Harry Reid?
Retailers, businesses where all of us shop. Good for you and good for Nevada. We're the Retail Association of Nevada, working to strengthen the business environment for Nevada retailers. And that's good for you. Retailers create nearly 500,000 jobs for Nevadans, generated over $2 billion just in sales tax revenues in 1 year, provided nearly $700 million to help our schools, and built a $20 billion positive impact on our state's economy. Retail works for Nevada and works for you.
As an employer, did you know you can be held liable for negligent hiring? A background screening by Employer Links can uncover criminal records, like alcohol and drug convictions. It can verify the applicant's education, driving records, and professional licenses. Employer Links can check civil records, registered sex offender records, and social security fraud. Hiring the right person shouldn't be a gamble. Call Employer Links. Employer Links, protecting your investment.
Harry Reid knows Nevada needs jobs. He's powering a new clean energy industry. 300 jobs at a new solar field. 1,000 jobs building wind turbines. 25 new geothermal projects. But while Harry Reid is fighting for jobs, Sharon Angle supports tax breaks for companies that ship jobs overseas, outsourcing to China and India.
I'm not in the business of creating jobs.
At least not here in Nevada. Sharon Angle, a foreign worker's best friend.
I'm Harry Reid, and I approve this message.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis and Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
Welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. I'm Samantha Stone with Paul Enos from the Nevada Motor Transport Association and our two guests, Casey Steitler, Director of Legislative Affairs, and John Cusera, Assistant Director of Legislative Affairs for the Associated Students at UNR. And we were talking about the integrity of the higher education system. Two things that you brought up that I want to address. The first is the cutting of entire programs, such as the supply chain management program that you as a business major valued. As a business major, you must surely understand supply and demand. We were just talking about it before the show. You're studying economics. Talk about that. What was the process that went into cutting that program? Was it a supply and demand issue?
Very much. The supply chain management, from my understanding, has received less students and less graduates. So if a program had to be cut, I suppose the decision makers thought that was the best one to cut. As to exactly why they chose that one and not others, that's all I can assume, is that there were less people doing it and less support for the program as a whole.
Now, when you say that, but I mean, actually in the community, there was kind of a groundswell of support for that. You had numerous jobs that were created, and kind of the process, you know, that went about getting rid of that program. It's not really the supply and demand process. It's kind of like letting the inmates run the asylum, where you have to go through the faculty senate, and you know, it's those folks kind of protecting their own turf. You know, when you look at how they do that as students, do you think that there are any reforms that could be put in place that could make that process a little more student friendly?
Well, the system process that they use to actually review and potentially cut or reduce programs is, in my opinion, a very, very good process. They did take into account student needs, but the real core issue is that the position that the state legislature, due to the budget crisis, the position that they've had to put the system in is one where, again, they're forced into a corner and they have to make cuts.
Now, you talk about not wanting to raise tuition. You know, Nevada, I went there. It's one of the cheapest places to go to school. It's, you know, good value for your dollar. Don't you think that in these kind of times, you know, it is kind of incumbent on the students to maybe share a little more of that burden and maybe take a tuition increase when everybody else is kind of feeling that pinch because of our economy?
It's definitely a possibility. Like I said, education makes up a huge part of the state budget, and we just don't want them to increase tuition and fees to a point that it would limit access to students. Some increases are certainly going to happen. We just don't want it to damage integrity or limit access to students.
Again, like we said with the pledge, we want them to make well-informed, responsible decisions. A 30% increase over a single year period could potentially cause students to have to limit their education for a year before they could afford it, and that's something we want to avoid.
All right, something you said before we went to the break about the slim possibility, I think it's slim, maybe I'm wrong, of the school losing its accreditation. I went to a candidate forum at the university not long ago, a couple weeks back, and two of the candidates, there were a bunch of them there, eight or nine, two of them brought that up. I did have an email exchange with President Glick's office. He's not worried about that. Is that, those are scary words. To throw that out there is a scary thing to say. Why did you say that, and why are candidates bringing that up?
It's with the crisis, we've got $3 billion of funds we've got to make up, and we make up such a huge part of the budget. You've got things...
I mean, but $3 billion isn't what the university is.
$3 billion
is the entire state share.
$3 billion is the entire state, correct.
It's over a two-year budget cycle, and you guys probably account for maybe 18% of that as far as the higher education system goes.
Correct.
So, I mean, we're not looking at a $3 billion thing.
No, not from the university. If you get to a point where you start cutting programs, limiting access, your student count goes down, your program count goes down.
But our student count hasn't gone down. I mean, all those things are going up right
correct.
Now. Correct.
We've actually had the largest freshman class that we've had, at least in terms of percentage increase in the last year. So whether it's a slim chance or not, it's still a fear that we have that would greatly affect the entire system, alumni, current, and future students as well.
You don't view that as political pot stirring?
Losing the accreditation?
No, the bringing it up. Without really going into it deeply, which two candidates did. It was kind of a peripheral comment, and then it was left to hang there in the air.
Well, and I think that the reason why it comes up is obviously because it's a fear on part of the students and even some community members. And a lot of the efforts that are being made by our department aren't just for this upcoming year or just this upcoming session. These are conversations that are going to need to take place year to year, session to session. And given the current situation that we're in with the budget, if we don't start to fix these statewide problems, we could potentially just continue cutting education more and more each year. And eventually it could lead to something as severe as a loss of accreditation or loss of crucial programs in the university system.
Okay. We have 30 seconds left. Do you have BDRs? Are you putting in bill draft requests? Give me in just as few words as possible regarding what?
We're hoping that's our end goal of this term is to submit a bill draft request and put in a piece of legislation to help protect the institutional integrity and keep students involved in our school.
Have you had any commitments from legislators to put that language in for you?
Not yet, but that's something that we'll definitely be working on over the coming months.
All right, gentlemen, thanks for joining us. Casey Steitler, John Kucera, Legislative Affairs, ASUN. Back in a moment with the pundits taped from last week. You'll see Sam Shad and the pundit panel. Thanks for joining us.
So, who do you use for workers' comp?
Pro Group Management.
Oh, I've heard some good things about them.
You bet. Employee background check, safety training, claim seminars. Oh, here's the great part. If you have an issue, they work for you, not against you.
Well, sounds perfect. And expensive.
Well, that's the best part. They saved me 25%, and I've heard they saved more for others.
Works for me.
Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Harry Reid knows Nevada needs jobs. He's powering a new clean energy industry. 300 jobs at a new solar field. 1,000 jobs building wind turbines. 25 new geothermal projects. But while Harry Reid is fighting for jobs, Sharon Angle supports tax breaks for companies that ship jobs overseas, outsourcing to China and India.
I'm not in the business of creating jobs.
At least, not here in Nevada. Sharon Angle, a foreign worker's best friend.
I'm Harry Reid, and I approve this message.
Put your hands together.
The Holy Ghost power.
Presenting Shouting Down the Aisles. 30 songs on two CDs for just $24.99. But wait, order with your credit card and we'll cut the price to just $14.99. Then preview other great gospel CDs. Satisfaction guaranteed. And start shouting down the aisles with two CDs for just
$14.99.
Call 1-800-764-5577 to order Shouting Down the Aisles on two CDs for $14.99 plus shipping and handling when you call in the next 10 minutes with your credit card or online at timelife.com/shout.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great PowerPundit panel as always. Robert Eidhoven is here with J3 Strategies. Greg Crawford is managing partner of Sierra Wealth Management, and Joe Gill, the attorney. Pleasure to have you all here.
Morning.
Let's talk about polls. We've seen several polls over the last few days that show Sharon Angle moving up in the numbers here. What are we to make of this? And you know, as a campaign veteran, just follow these polls.
You know, the campaigns will tell you they don't pay attention to them, but they live by them. Basically live in these campaign offices, especially in the final stretch, they'll tell reporters like Ray when he calls and asks for feedback on the polls, oh, it doesn't matter, it's all about turnout. It is about turnout, certainly. It's about turnout beginning October 16th. But every one of those staff members from the campaign manager on down, you know, you live and die by those polls coming in. And the momentum certainly was Sharon Angle.
Your thoughts, Greg?
The science of polling has gotten very, very precise. And I just know from being a resident here, my phone rings 3-4 times a night, it seems like. And,
I take it there's people trying to pull you.
Yeah, exactly. we've stopped answering our household. We're just ready for the election at this point. But yeah, those numbers are very precise, and I can see why people pay such close attention to them, even if they sometimes say they don't.
Joe, what are your thoughts on this? Because a lot of it is in the way the questions are asked.
Well, and the way the questions are answered, I think because things are so sophisticated, the voters are not stupid. And a Harry Reid supporter might just answer in the affirmative to supporting Sharon Angle just to throw things off or whatever. I know what Robert said is true, but how much does the real the person out there is going to vote really care about these polls? So I'm skeptical about the momentum being in favor of Sharon Angle right now, or for Harry Reid for that matter.
And for the most part, they're within the margin of error.
I don't think it influences votes so much. What it does influence is donations. Oh. Sharon Angle getting a news release out, you know, in the wake of these polls saying, I have three consecutive polls, Fox News, CNN, and Rasmussen showing me in the lead, that's probably the most impact. You're right. It's not going to affect somebody sitting at home deciding, I'm on the fence, who am I going to vote for? Well, these polls say Sharon Angle, so I'll go there. Joe's right there. But the donation side of it, it certainly helps fund a campaign.
Yeah, I agree with that.
What I see about these polls, especially in the Reid Angle race, is that someone's up two points or 3 points, and then you read the fine print of the poll, and the margin of error is 4 points.
Or look at sample size.
Right. There's another.
Where you really have to get precise is determining the right sample size, male to female voters, older voters who tend to vote more in midterm elections where there's typically a lower turnout. A lot of these polls have been using samples based simply on registration. I don't think you can use registration models as an accurate way of polling right now because of the enthusiasm gap. I think you have to give a couple points, as you typically would in a midterm to the GOP anyway, as you typically would in a midterm to an out-of-party party, the GOP being out of party. They don't have the House, Senate, or the White House. Given all those things, I think this is probably Sharon almost moving outside the margin of error for the first time since right after the primary.
I want to change topics on you guys here because, you know, taxes is the big question across our state, and we're going to see a huge tax increase from the State Employment Security Council. They voted last week to increase by 50% the taxes businesses pay to provide unemployment benefits to workers effective January 1. That was from Ed Vogt in the Las Vegas Review-Journal. That is huge.
I think it would be wise for a sitting member of the legislature or a candidate to propose a bill to remove that statute that gives a council, an unelected council, that umbrella to raise taxes by that amount without having to subject themselves to the Gibbons tax restraint.
What's fair for the legislature should be fair for the council.
Do you think any legislative candidate today would be out there supporting a 50%? I mean, Kate Marshall might have stepped in it a little bit by supporting it when she's got her own reelection coming up.
But now the reality is that the state has been borrowing hundreds of millions of dollars to pay these unemployment taxes and will continue to do so. How do we end up paying for it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a terrible bind. It reflects the broader, you know, budget issues that the whole state will be focused on next year. And I don't have any sort of easy answers. The campaign is I think, being, by and large, the political campaign that's going on right now is being very disingenuous with the populace.
If only we knew a powerful person in our congressional delegation. I don't know of anybody, but if there were somebody who could give some federal relief, you'd think he'd be out there. Maybe we'll see it.
But we have been getting federal relief, just to be fair, because there's been a forgiveness by the feds on the interest that we owe on the amount that we've been borrowing for the unemployment compensation from the federal government. So we have gotten some relief. But when that interest comes due, or when we just had to borrow some more money, when all of that bill comes together at the same time, including trying to solve the debt problems in the next legislative session, that's when we're going to need leadership. And the leadership will show up, it'll have to show up at the legislature, not from the federal government.
The same legislature that increased payroll taxes by 100% in 2009, all of a sudden you double the tax on job creation. You force businesses to lay people off. And who's going to get hit hardest by that 50% increase in unemployment taxes? The businesses who laid people off.
And that's where we have to leave it. Gentlemen, a fine discussion. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout. On the next face-to-face, with all the attention on the U.S. Senate and governor's races, you may have forgotten about some other big offices down the ticket. Next week, watch as Treasurer Kate Marshall, Controller Kim Wallen, and Secretary of State Ross Miller defend their offices against challengers.
When it comes to going bald, you now have a choice. Advances in medical science have resulted in the world's first and only permanent solution to hair loss.
It is your real hair. It's your natural hair. You wash it, you cut it, you swim with it.
Bosley is the world's most experienced hair restoration expert, having pioneered many of the major advances in the art and science of hair restoration.
I'm very, very satisfied, very happy with what I've done. This has got to be one of the best decisions I've made in my life, I'll tell you that.
Bosley Hair Restoration is a relatively simple outpatient procedure. The results look completely natural, and it's affordable on nearly any budget. Call the toll-free number now to receive your free no-obligation information kit that will help you decide if hair restoration at Bosley is right for you. You don't have to accept going bald. Do something about it right now.
Call 1-800-791-1913. That's 1-800-791-1913. Call now.
Are you ready for this?
Delicious!
What if all the movies you love were on one channel?
I can't believe it. How about you guys?
Welcome to This TV.
Very clever.
A new movie channel that's home to all your favorites.
God, I love you.
And so much more.
Maybe we can follow this one up a little dancing and refreshments, huh?
You're insane!
This TV. To find where This TV is in your area and what great movies are playing, log on to thistv.com.
Congratulations. I'm sure you'll have many happy years here. Except for you. Because you'll be gone 3 years from now, struck down by the same disease that got your father. Sadly, it could have been detected early with a simple test.
For a list of tests every man should have, go to ahrq.gov.
Join us tomorrow on Nevada Newsmaker. Sam Shadd starts a series of shows from Las Vegas.
Tomorrow, Thomas Mitchell, Las Vegas Review Journal editor.
I'm Sharon Angle, and I approve this message.